Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, it speaks of Christ as the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Friend, Jesus is not just a king, but a king on a specific throne, the throne of David. As David, the second king of Israel, is an ancestor and a type of Christ, his kingdom is a type of the kingdom of Christ. David's kingdom was an earthly kingdom, and he had many successors until Judah was taken away into captivity. Now, our lesson considers the role and the significance of the kingdom of David in God's scheme, and to see its relationship to Christ and to the kingdom of Christ. Now, the kingdom of Christ was prophesied to come. When Jacob blessed his sons, he said to Judah, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people." Genesis 49 and verse 10. Well, Christ was of the tribe of Judah, Hebrews 7:14. Isaiah 2:2-4 speaks of the mountain or the government of the Lord's house, also called the house of God of Jacob. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it tells when the kingdom would come. It would be in the days of these kings, the kings of a fourth empire, Babylon being the first, then Persia, then Greece, then Rome. And Daniel 7:13-14 says the Son of Man would go to the Ancient of Days and would be given a kingdom. This was a prophecy of the ascension of Jesus to the Father to receive his kingdom. Zechariah 6:12-13 tells of the king on his throne and being a priest in his temple. And Hebrews likened Christ to Melchizedek, who was both king and priest at the same time. In Isaiah chapter 9:6-7 shows that the government would be upon the shoulders of a child to be born, and the identity of that child being Jesus the Christ. It was foretold to Mary concerning Jesus that he would be a king, and the throne was specified to be David's throne, Luke chapter 1. Peter declared him to be on David's throne in Acts 2. Christ said he would come to his kingdom in the lifetime of some of those with whom he spoke, Matthew 16, Mark chapter 9, verse 1. Furthermore, his kingdom would not be an earthly kingdom, John 18:37. Now, the role of Christ as king is repeatedly acknowledged in Scripture by others, even though they probably did not fully understand the full nature of his kingdom. They knew him to serve in that capacity. Nathanael said in John 1:49, "Thou art the king of Israel." The mother of James and John asked special favors of him for her sons when he came into his kingdom, Matthew 20. And as he entered triumphantly into Jerusalem, the people hailed him, saying, "Behold, the king cometh," Matthew 21. The thief asked to be remembered by Christ when he came into his kingdom, Luke 23. Then there was the inscription over his cross, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews," Matthew 27. And Paul preached another king, King Jesus, Acts chapter 17. Now in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, it tells of the kingdom taken from Saul and given to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, it reveals a promise to David that when his days were fulfilled and he slept with his fathers, God would set one of his seed after him, and that one would reign forever. Now, this could not refer to Solomon because his reign ended. And also, Solomon had already been made king just immediately before David died. The promised king would come after David died. And obviously, this promised king would be before the universal resurrection. David went to the tomb to await the Lord's return and the resurrection. The reign would come prior to that resurrection. Significantly, David's throne is also called the throne of Israel, 1 Kings 2. It's also called the throne of the Lord, 1 Chronicles 29. The throne of God is called the throne of Christ, Acts chapter 8. Peter on Pentecost showed the prophecies regarding the throne, and David had reference to Jesus Christ. And with the prophecies fulfilled, the kingdom did come. No biblical truth is more pronounced with certainty than the existence of the kingdom of Christ now. Now, David's earthly kingdom was but a type of that which was to come. The nature of the kingdom of Christ was misunderstood while he was here on earth, and it's misunderstood by many even yet. His is not an earthly kingdom. His kingdom is not bound by geographical borders that denote the boundaries of earthly kingdoms. Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, John 18:36. Now it's in the world, but it is not of the world. His is a kingdom of spiritual nature, Luke 17. It is within you. His kingdom reigns in the heart and in the mind. His is a spiritual house and a holy nation, 1 Peter 2. And its citizens offer up spiritual sacrifices, again 1 Peter 2 and Romans 12. His throne is in heaven, Acts 7, just as Stephen quoted from Psalm chapter 11. The kingdom of Christ came in the city of Jerusalem, just as Isaiah foretold. The apostles had been told to return there and wait for power to come, Luke 24. The kingdom would come with power, Mark chapter 9. It would come in the lifetime of people then living. The power would be the Holy Spirit upon them, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It would come after his ascension in the days of the Roman Empire, Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. These conditions existed, friend, with the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Now, Jesus did not fail in his mission to establish the kingdom, even though he was rejected, Romans 3:3. At the last Passover observance, Jesus said he would not commune with his disciples again until the kingdom, Matthew 26. But we see the communion was a reality in the life of those in the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 11. Those in the church in Colossae were said to have been delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. John said that he was in the kingdom, as well as those to whom Revelation was originally sent, Revelation 1 and verse 9. And all of this simply means, friend, that Christ reigns now. The kingdom exists now. He has been raised to the right hand of God, Acts 2, Hebrews 1, denoting his rank and his authority. And this is, as prophesied in Psalm 110, he has been raised into heaven to sit on the right hand of God, angels and authorities subject unto him. All authority is his, Matthew 28. And he has also been raised to sit on the throne, Acts 2 and verse 30. Therefore, to sit on the right hand of God is to sit on the throne. It means the same thing. Christ is on the throne. His kingdom now exists, and he reigns as king. Furthermore, he serves as high priest now, according to the book of Hebrews. And if he is priest now, and none can deny it, he is also king now, as was foretold by Zechariah chapter 6, after the order of Melchizedek. He has the key, the symbol of authority of David, Revelation 3. There is no question that the kingdom now exists. There is no question that Christ is on his throne. There is no question his kingdom is a spiritual one, the antitype of David's earthly kingdom. Nor will Christ set up an earthly kingdom, as the false doctrine of premillennialism contends. It is an impossibility, furthermore, if the scriptures are true, and they are. Jeremiah 22:30 tells of the next to the last king of earthly Judah. The last five kings of Judah were Josiah, his son Jehoahaz, then another son Jehoiakim, and then a grandson Coniah, also called Jeconiah or Jehoiakim, and finally a third son, Josiah, named Zedekiah. Now of Coniah, it was written, "Write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah." Now this had to do with Coniah, and it is significant that Coniah was a fleshly ancestor of Jesus, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 11. It teaches that no fleshly descendant of Coniah would reign in Judah. Now that's the province which includes Jerusalem, the very city premillennialists claim Christ will set up an earthly kingdom when he returns and to rule 1,000 years. Now unless God's prophecy is false, no such thing is going to happen. When Jesus comes again, friend, it will not be to set up his kingdom, but to deliver up his kingdom to the Father, 1 Corinthians 15:24. This future kingdom theory is totally false, but it is not without consequence because it contradicts Scripture. how anyone who claims to be faithful to the Word of God and contends the premillennial theory is innocuous contends for an absurdity. This doctrine is degrading to Christ. It removes him from off his throne. Now, how does one become a citizen in the Lord's kingdom? Why, it's the same way that he becomes a Christian. It's the same way he becomes a member of the church, since the kingdom is the church and the church is the kingdom. Christ said he would build the church, and he gave the apostles the keys to the kingdom. The churches in Asia were in the kingdom. Members of the church are fellow citizens with the saints. Ephesians 2:19, the Colossians were in the kingdom. They were members of the church. Now, when people heard the gospel, believed it, and obeyed it, in repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ, they were translated, they were changed, they were born again, they entered the kingdom as new creatures in Christ. And those who are in the kingdom are those who will do the Lord's will. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Friend, in summary, I have shown to you that Scripture teaches how Christ was prophesied to be king. He came to be king. His kingdom was foretold. His kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, is the throne of David, and Christ is king now. It is important for us to be in the kingdom because those in the kingdom are those who are heaven-bound. Those in the kingdom will be delivered to the Father when King Jesus comes again, and the dead are raised, and judgment takes place, and eternity is entered. I plead with you to have respect for the Lord's church, which is the Lord's kingdom, and I plead with you to do that which you must do, to be added to the church and become a citizen of the kingdom, which is composed of those who shall live with God forever and ever. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.